Welcome to the Clifton Brantley Podcast. It is Monday, March 17th, 2025. I hope you guys are having a good day today so far. I had a doctor's appointment today. You know, let me tell you something. Doctor's appointments these days are not like they used to be. You know, you used to go to the doctor and you really thought that they were trying to take care of you. Now I just feel like they're trying to get you in and out, you know. But maybe it's just that way for those of us who are on the not so rich side. You know, I don't know if rich people have to go through these kind of issues, you know, with healthcare. But anyway, hey, listen. So what's on your agenda for the week? I want to encourage you right off the bat. Make up your mind to make this week a great week. Have you ever noticed the difference between a good week and a bad week is you? And what I mean by that is a bad week, a bad day, a bad experience is primarily that because of what's in your mind, right? It's not because of what happens to you on the outside of you. It's because of how you process what happens, right? So for example, you losing a big project, that doesn't make a bad day unless you determine that it's a bad day. Now, it may not be what you wanted, but what determines whether or not it's a bad day and what's going to determine whether or not this is a bad week is how you process and understand, how you give meaning to whatever happens in your life this week. And what I'm telling you to do is to make it great. It's up to you. So I was reading something this morning I wanted to share a little bit with you. Actually, first, I was thinking about pain. Right. So when you think about pain, I was talking to God and I was like, Lord, I don't like pain, but I understand that the way that you grow us, the way that you get us to where you want us to be, a lot of times it's through pain. Sometimes you bring the pain. Sometimes you allow the pain to happen. But either way, you use the pain to grow us. So here's what I was thinking. Lord, I need to know what pains to embrace and what pains to try to alleviate, right? So like when I have a headache, if it's severe enough, I'm probably going to take some Aleve because I want to alleviate that pain. But when I go to the gym and I lift weights and then my chest is sore, I'm not really trying to alleviate that pain. Not that it's comfortable, not that I like it, but I understand the purpose of it, right? I understand why the pain is there and the pain is doing something good for me. So, you know, I'm not tripping on that. I don't understand the purpose of the headache. It's not doing anything, as far as I can perceive, it's not doing anything positive for me, anything good for me. It's just pain. And so I want to alleviate that. In the same way, and I was talking to God, when it comes to, Lord, when it comes to life, I know you use pain to grow us. So I need you then to help me decipher the difference between the pain I need to embrace and the pain I need to push away. Right? That's a good prayer. Wouldn't you say that's a good prayer? I think that's a good prayer. Right? Because like, for example, in your marriage, you may be going through some difficult things. You may be in pain because of what's happening. Is that a pain that you're supposed to alleviate? Or is that a pain you're supposed to just let be there while God is working things out? Now, let me tell you something about me. Okay. So number one, I'm anti-divorce. Number two, I'm pro-marriage. But number three, I don't believe that every marriage can and will work. I don't believe that God blesses every marriage. I don't believe that God has put every marriage together, even if they are believers. Now, that's what I believe. Okay? That's what I believe. So I said that to say then, you got to examine this whole pain thing for yourself. Right? But get with God, though. Like, pray about it. Ask God, look, Lord, what pain should I embrace? What pain should I push away? Because in your marriage, things can happen. And if it happens repeatedly over a long period of time, you may think, hey, this pain is too much and it's not getting any better. And so you may want to end the pain. You need to make sure that's God's will. Okay, you need to make sure that's God's will. Why? Because when you're outside of God's will, judgment is immediate. What does that mean? It's just, so when something is out of its designed place, judgment happens. For example, there's a socket that my shoulder goes in. If my shoulder is out of socket, judgment is immediate. I feel the pain immediately. Hey, you did something wrong. That's the judgment. Soon as it's out of place. And in our lives, when we're out of God's will, when we're out of place, judgment shows up. But here's the other thing. This is what I believe. When we are in the place that God wants us to be, blessings flow automatically. Yeah. When you're in the promised land, like when they got to the promised land, they didn't have to pray for milk and honey. When they spied the land out, they said, it's flowing with milk and honey. You feel me? But you got to be in the right place. So I was thinking about this idea of pain. And then I opened my Bible. My eyes fell on this. Proverbs said, today is the 17th. Proverbs 17, the very first verse, it says this. Better a dry crust eaten in peace than a house filled with feasting and conflict. Now, think about that. Better is a dry crust eaten in peace. This crust is dry. I need some water, but I ain't got no water. But I'd rather eat this and be at peace than to have my favorite food, than to have my favorite dish, than to have the best filet mignon, the most tender, the most well-cooked medium well filet with the most amazing sides. Added with a little conflict, I'd rather have the peace and the crust, right? That's what Solomon is saying. It's better to have the peace. It's better to have the crust and peace, a piece of crust, y'all, peace and crust, than to have feasting and conflict. I concur. You know, I concur. And let me tell you this. I believe in your life, you have to be wise enough to decipher. Or you need the Holy Spirit to help you see when you are being handled in a way that is ungodly and it's hurting you, but your partner doesn't recognize they're hurting you. That's dangerous, right? Imagine how dangerous it is if there's poison in the refrigerator and it's not labeled and you got kids in the house and they come in the house and they're thirsty. And like, how dangerous is that? To me, it's the same kind of danger for someone to be harming you and they not know they're harming you. And then you not tell them that they're harming you. You're going to hurt yourself and them too. In that same chapter of 17, here's what verse 9 says. I like this. I'm going to read 9 and 10. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. When you're in your marriage, and you are dealing with pain, and it's one of those pains that you decided, you know what, I need to embrace this. Well, then if you embrace the pain because it's part of the process, then you also need to embrace forgiveness. Because if you're going to embrace the pain and your partner is the source of the pain, you need to learn how to forgive. The Bible says that forgiveness, it says that love prospers when fault is forgiven. The flip side of that is love cannot prosper when you hold on to stuff. I wish I had an audience in here right now. That I can shout myself on that one point. But then verse 10 says, a single rebuke does more for a person of understanding than 100 lashes on the back of a fool. Now, the focus of this verse is the person of understanding, not the fool, right? And it says, a single rebuke does more for a person of understanding than a fool. So in your life, when you're dealing with this pain, you're having conflict, and you've forgiven, right? And then now after you get past the forgiveness piece, I've forgiven you. Now we need to talk about it. When we talk about it, your partner cannot receive what you are sharing. It might be that they're a fool. Now, I know folk don't like the, you know, don't call your spouse a fool. I didn't. The Bible did. Right. So let me ask you this. Let me ask y'all this, because I get pushback on this sometimes. Help me. You help me understand. The serial killers that live on the planet, the rapists, the criminals. Let's bring it back closer to home. The folk who are selfish, the people who are narcissistic, the people who are married, blood-bought believers. But they're like little Hitlers in their home, right? The people who try to get over on you in the street, right? All of those people. Let me run it again, because I threw some folk in action. I didn't want it in there. Let me run it again to make this point. Serial killers, rapists, criminals, charlatans, right? Folk that you don't want to have nothing to do with ever at all. Evil people. All of them have relatives. All of them at some point had somebody who loved them. Here's my point. Some of them got brothers and sisters, some moms and dads. Here's my point. How is it that even though those folk got you know, they got siblings and friends, and like, they didn't just show up on the planet, but then the person you're married to, they can't be one of them? And I tell folk all the time, my brother wouldn't do that. My sister wouldn't do that. Jeffrey Dahmer's folk probably thought that too, right? Ted Bundy's siblings probably thought that too. And my point is this: we are regular human beings. Don't think that just because you are Christians, both of y'all Christians, but you are living in your marriage and it's upside down, you're abusing each other, you don't honor the things of God, you're not trying to live your life in a way that pleases God, and you then believe you try. So then you believe God wants y'all to stay together. So you stand on, we can't get divorced, we got to be here no matter what. And again, I'm anti-divorce, but I'm also anti-abusive. Right. I'm also anti. How is God going to get the glory out of your life? I'm not convinced. I know some Christians are. I know some are. I'm not convinced that God gets glory and is happy. Let me say this. I don't believe that God enjoys us going through pain and difficulty and suffering. I know Jesus said in this life, you will, not might, but will have tribulations. And he said, be of good courage. I've overcome the world. So we know that it's built into the fabric. But to say I need to suffer to be close to God, to say I need to suffer to please God, I will suffer to please God, but to say I need to, I don't know if I agree with that theology. Now, I haven't read the whole Bible. I don't know everything in the Bible. So if somebody can tell me, hey, actually scripture says this, I hadn't read it and I see it, I'd be like, oh. Okay, well, then I guess God does glory in my suffering then. It will change my perspective. But right now, all I'm saying is, so, in my previous marriage, the times when I tried to talk to somebody about how I was feeling, what I was going through, how she was treating me, what I got primarily was, be patient. Don't say that about your wife. It's true. No, don't say that about your wife, right? Take it to God. Wait on God. That's the wife, woman. That's the woman God gave you. I didn't believe none of that. I didn't believe God gave me her. I didn't believe, and I'm not saying anything about her, right? I'm not disparaging my ex-wife, right? I have no issues with her. But I didn't believe that God spoke to me and said, hey, this is your wife, right? People, my point is, people apply this Christian blanket logic, like just keep suffering, God's gonna work it out. I'm 53. I got a fellow who's 65. And I know, listen, time is in God's hand. I get that. But when you see the same thing over and over and over, at what point are you gonna get a clue to say, hey, wisdom says this may be what I think it is? As opposed to me trying to paint a Christian veneer over it and say, well, no, it's not really that. No. Maybe this person is narcissistic, right? Maybe this person is selfish. Maybe this person doesn't love God the way they say. The Bible says that a tree will be known by its fruit. If you don't see no fruit, you don't even have. So you're not judging them. The Bible is judging them. Just take them to the scripture. Right? So, how do we have these kind of talks? Well, let me just tell you this. You can't have these kind of talks if your partner is unfriendly. Here's what the Bible says. Unfriendly people care only about themselves. They lash out at common sense. You hear that? They lash out at common sense. I can't tell you how many times clients in my office, one speaking common sense and the other person is lashing out at it. And then the Bible says, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. If that don't sound like most marriages I encounter, I don't know what does. Fools have no interest in understanding. The thing that I try to teach most often is understanding. You need to understand. You need to understand more than you need to agree. But fools, they're not interested in that. They just want to give their side of the story. And then you want to tell your side, I'm not interested in that. Pain. What kind of pain are we supposed to embrace? And where's the pain that we're supposed to alleviate? Somebody help me with that. And we'll talk about it next time. And we'll try to figure that out together. Up until then, y'all take care. Welcome to the Clifton Brantley Podcast. It is Monday, March 17th, 2025. I hope you guys are having a good day today so far. I had a doctor's appointment today. You know, let me tell you something. Doctor's appointments these days are not like they used to be. You know, you used to go to the doctor and you really thought that they were trying to take care of you. Now I just feel like they're trying to get you in and out, you know. But maybe it's just that way for those of us who are on the not so rich side. You know, I don't know if rich people have to go through these kind of issues, you know, with healthcare. But anyway, hey, listen. So what's on your agenda for the week? I want to encourage you right off the bat. Make up your mind to make this week a great week. Have you ever noticed the difference between a good week and a bad week is you? And what I mean by that is a bad week, a bad day, a bad experience is primarily that because of what's in your mind, right? It's not because of what happens to you on the outside of you. It's because of how you process what happens, right? So for example, you losing a big project, that doesn't make a bad day unless you determine that it's a bad day. Now, it may not be what you wanted, but what determines whether or not it's a bad day and what's going to determine whether or not this is a bad week is how you process and understand how you give meaning to whatever happens in your life this week. And what I'm telling you to do is to make it great. It's up to you. So I was reading something this morning. I wanted to share a little bit with you. Actually, first, I was thinking about pain, right? So when you think about pain, I was talking to God and I was like, Lord, I don't like pain, but I understand that the way that you grow us, the way that you get us to where you want us to be, a lot of times it's through pain. Sometimes you bring the pain. Sometimes you allow the pain to happen. But either way, you use the pain to grow us. So here's what I was thinking. Lord, I need to know what pains to embrace and what pains to try to alleviate, right? So like when I have a headache, if it's severe enough, I'm probably going to take some Aleve because I want to alleviate that pain. But when I go to the gym and I lift weights and then my chest is sore, I'm not really trying to alleviate that pain. Not that it's comfortable, not that I like it, but I understand the purpose of it, right? I understand why the pain is there and the pain is doing something good for me. So, you know, I'm not tripping on that. I don't understand the purpose of the headache. It's not doing anything, as far as I can perceive, it's not doing anything positive for me, anything good for me. It's just pain. And so I want to alleviate that. In the same way, and I was talking to God, when it comes to life, I know you use pain to grow us. So I need you then to help me decipher the difference between the pain I need to embrace and the pain I need to push away. Right? That's a good prayer. Wouldn't you say that's a good prayer? I think that's a good prayer. Right? Because like, for example, in your marriage, you may be going through some difficult things. You may be in pain because of what's happening. Is that a pain that you're supposed to alleviate, or is that a pain you're supposed to just let be there while God is working things out? Now, let me tell you something about me, okay? So number one, I'm anti-divorce. Number two, I'm pro-marriage. But number three, I don't believe that every marriage can and will work. I don't believe that God blesses every marriage. I don't believe that God has put every marriage together, even if they are believers. Now, that's what I believe. Okay, that's what I believe. So I said that to say, then you got to examine this whole pain thing for yourself, right? But get with God though. Like, pray about it. Ask God. Look, Lord, what pain should I embrace? What pain should I push away? Because in your marriage, things can happen, and if it happens repeatedly over a long period of time, you may think, hey, this pain is too much and it's not getting any better. And so you may want to end the pain. You need to make sure that's God's will. Okay, you need to make sure that's God's will. Why? Because when you're outside of God's will, judgment is immediate. What does that mean? It's just, so when something is out of its designed place, judgment happens. For example, there's a socket that my shoulder goes in. If my shoulder is out of socket, judgment is immediate. I feel the pain immediately. Hey, you did something wrong. That's the judgment. Soon as it's out of place. And in our lives, when we're out of God's will, when we're out of place, judgment shows up. But here's the other thing. This is what I believe. When we are in the place that God wants us to be, blessings flow automatically. Yeah. When you're in the promised land, like when they got to the promised land, they didn't have to pray for milk and honey. When they spied the land out, they said, it's flowing with milk and honey. You feel me? But you got to be in the right place. So I was thinking about this idea of pain. And then I opened my Bible. My eyes fell on this. Proverbs said, today's the 17th. Proverbs 17, the very first verse, it says this. Better a dry crust eaten in peace than a house filled with feasting and conflict. Now, think about that. Better is a dry crust eaten in peace. This crust is dry. I need some water, but I ain't got no water. But I'd rather eat this and be at peace than to have my favorite food, than to have my favorite dish, than to have the best filet mignon, the most tender, the most well-cooked medium well filet with the most amazing sides. Added with a little conflict, I'd rather have the peace and the crust, right? That's what Solomon is saying. It's better to have the peace. It's better to have the crust and peace. A piece of crust, y'all. Peace and crust than to have feasting and conflict. I concur. You know, I concur. And let me tell you this. I believe in your life, you have to be wise enough to decipher, or you need the Holy Spirit to help you see when you are being handled in a way that is ungodly and it's hurting you, but your partner doesn't recognize they're hurting you. That's dangerous, right? Imagine how dangerous it is if there's poison in the refrigerator and it's not labeled and you got kids in the house and they come in the house and they're thirsty. And like, how dangerous is that? To me, it's the same kind of danger for someone to be harming you and they not know they're harming you. And then you not tell them that they're harming you. You're going to hurt yourself and them too. In that same chapter of 17, here's what verse 9 says. I like this. I'm going to read 9 and 10. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. When you're in your marriage, and you are dealing with pain, and it's one of those pains that you decided, you know what, I need to embrace this. Well, then if you embrace the pain because it's part of the process, then you also need to embrace forgiveness. Because if you're going to embrace the pain and your partner is the source of the pain, you need to learn how to forgive. The Bible says that forgiveness, it says that love prospers when fault is forgiven. The flip side of that is love cannot prosper when you hold on to stuff. I wish I had an audience in here right now. That I can shout myself on that one point. But then verse 10 says, a single rebuke does more for a person of understanding than 100 lashes on the back of a fool. Now, the focus of this verse is the person of understanding, not the fool, right? And it says, a single rebuke does more for a person of understanding than a fool. So in your life, when you're dealing with this pain, you're having conflict, and you've forgiven, right? And then now after you get past the forgiveness piece, I've forgiven you. Now we need to talk about it. When we talk about it, your partner cannot receive what you are sharing. It might be that they're a fool. Now, I know folk don't like the, you know, don't call your spouse a fool. I didn't. The Bible did. right? So let me ask you this. Let me ask y'all this, because I get pushback on this sometimes. Help me. You help me understand. The serial killers that live on the planet, the rapist, the criminals. Let's bring it back closer to home. The folk who are selfish, the people who are narcissistic, the people who are married, blood-bought believers, but they're like little Hitlers in their home, right? The people who try to get over on you in the street, right? All of those people. Let me run it again, because I threw some folk in action. I didn't want it in there. Let me run it again to make this point. Serial killers, rapists, criminals, charlatans, right? Folk that you don't want to have nothing to do with ever at all. Evil people. All of them have relatives. All of them at some point had somebody who loved them. Here's my point. Some of them got brothers and sisters, some moms and dads. Here's my point. How is it that even though those folk got you know, they got siblings and friends, and like they didn't just show up on the planet, but then the person you're married to, they can't be one of them? And I tell folk all the time, no, my brother wouldn't do that. My sister wouldn't do that. Jeffrey Dahmer's folk probably thought that too, right? Ted Bundy's siblings probably thought that too. And my point is this: we are regular human beings. Don't think that just because you are Christians, both of y'all Christians, but you are living in your marriage and it's upside down, you're abusing each other, you don't honor the things of God, you're not trying to live your life in a way that pleases God, and you then believe you try. So then you believe God wants y'all to stay together. So you stand on, we can't get divorced. We got to be here no matter what. And again, I'm anti-divorce, but I'm also anti-abusive. Right. I'm also anti. How is God going to get the glory out of your life? I'm not convinced. I know some Christians are. I know some are. I'm not convinced that God gets glory and is happy. Let me say it this way. I don't believe that God enjoys us going through pain and difficulty and suffering. I know Jesus said in this life, you will, not might, but will have tribulations. And he said, be of good courage. I've overcome the world. So we know that it's built into the fabric. But to say I need to suffer to be close to God, to say I need to suffer to please God, I will suffer to please God, but to say I need to, I don't know if I agree with that theology. Now, I haven't read the whole Bible. I don't know everything in the Bible. So if somebody can tell me, hey, actually scripture says this, I hadn't read it and I see it, I'd be like, oh. Okay, well, then I guess God does glory in my suffering then. It will change my perspective. But right now, all I'm saying is, so, in my previous marriage, the times when I tried to talk to somebody about how I was feeling, what I was going through, how she was treating me, what I got primarily was, be patient. Don't say that about your wife. It's true. No, don't say that about your wife, right? Take it to God. Wait on God. That's the wife, woman. That's the woman God gave you. I didn't believe none of that. I didn't believe God gave me her. I didn't believe, and I'm not saying anything about her, right? I'm not disparaging my ex-wife, right? I have no issues with her. But I didn't believe that God spoke to me and said, hey, this is your wife, right? My point is people apply this Christian blanket logic, like just keep suffering, God's going to work it out. I'm 53. I got a fellow who's 65. And I know, listen, time is in God's hand. I get that. But when you see the same thing over and over and over, at what point are you going to get a clue to say, hey, wisdom says this may be what I think it is? As opposed to me trying to paint a Christian veneer over it and say, well, no, it's not really that. No. Maybe this person is narcissistic, right? Maybe this person is selfish. Maybe this person doesn't love God the way they say. The Bible says that a tree will be known by its fruit. If you don't see no fruit, you don't even have, so you're not judging them. The Bible is judging them. Just take them to the scripture, right? So, how do we have these kind of talks? Well, let me just tell you this. You can't have these kind of talks if your partner is unfriendly. Here's what the Bible says. Unfriendly people care only about themselves. They lash out at common sense. You hear that? They lash out at common sense. I can't tell you how many times clients in my office, one speaking common sense and the other person is lashing out at it. And then the Bible says, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. If that don't sound like most marriages I encounter, I don't know what does. Fools have no interest in understanding. The thing that I try to teach most often is understanding. You need to understand. You need to understand more than you need to agree. But fools, they're not interested in that. They just want to give their side of the story. And then you want to tell your side, I'm not interested in that. Pain. What kind of pain are we supposed to embrace? And where's the pain that we're supposed to alleviate? Somebody help me with that. And we'll talk about it next time. And we'll try to figure that out together. Up until then, y'all take care.